You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network. What up, everybody? This is Sunny, your Loudmouth of Comedy. I got something to share with you guys. You listening? Check it out. Sunny's Loudmouth Comedy Presents is coming to what? Shooters, Bar and Grill, Temecula. We're doing comedy and karaoke every third Wednesday comedy, live comedy event, right? We're doing open mic, feature comics, and we're topping it off with karaoke. Now, this is the best part. I need you to get your tickets. We're doing advanced tickets and table reservations. We're not doing anything at the door, which means you need to get your tickets. And you need to go to where? Loudmouthcomedy.com. That's LOUDDMOUTH, loudmouthcomedy.com, all together. Get your tickets. Tell the homies. You can get you some reservations for table seating. Also, listen, if you are a comic or maybe you do spoken word or you might sing or something like that, you want to take part in the open mic, I need you to go to loudmouthcomedy.com and get your opportunity to get registered and signed up for the open mic. It's limited spaces. Don't let me tell you. I didn't tell you ahead of advance. Now you got to do this in advance, right? And you need to be registered well in advance, okay? So you need to go to loudmouthcomedy.com. Uncontrollable laughter, great food, drinks, and a comfortable atmosphere. I can't wait to see you. Welcome to Loudmouth Radio Network. My name is Sunny. As a former professional athlete turned entrepreneur realtor and the producer of Loudmouth Radio Network, I look forward to bringing content to you that empowers, inspires, and entertains you. Tune in each week as we have unscripted and unfiltered talks from entrepreneurship, real estate, politics, entertainment, comedy, LGBTQ topics, day-to-day life, and everything in between. All shows available on demand 24/7 on your favorite podcast platforms. San Jacinto, Temecula Valley areas, and throughout the Inland Empire. Are you looking to become a homeowner in 2024? Register today for the New Home in the New Year seminar hosted by Sold by Sunny. Let's get you from rental to homeowner in the new year. Get the latest insight of down payment assistance programs, whether you purchased a home before or purchasing for the first time. We want to make sure you're provided with the necessary information needed for you to buy your new home in 2024. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Hector Calvillo of J&H Automotive, located at 611 West Florida Avenue in Hemet, California. We are a full-service automotive repair shop where you can always expect to receive the highest quality repairs, fairest pricing, best customer service in the industry. My brother George and I grew up watching our dad work on classic cars as a backyard mechanic. His hard work ethic and dedication led us to opening up J&H Automotive in 2009. We started out with a 500 square foot repair shop, and we have consistently grown over the past 15 years to our new 10,000 square foot repair facility in the heart of Hemet. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Call 951-766-5999 to set an appointment for all your automotive service needs.
Hello, my name is Takasha Smith. I'm the owner of Takasha's Kitchen, based out of Menifee in the Southern California area. As a chef and caterer, I provide private cooking classes, couples dinners, and private parties. As a female pitmaster, I am able to create a personalized experience for your family reunion gatherings. I create menus based on my clients' needs to have a more personal vibe. You can find Takasha's Kitchen on all social media networks such as Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and my YouTube channel at Takasha's Kitchen. And that's spelled T-A-C-A-S-H-A-S Kitchen, K-I-T-C-H-E-N.
You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network. I had the distinct pleasure in... Kevin don't even know this. Oh, we got to watch. We rocking the tables here. So Kevin, Mr. Kevin Davis, my distinguished guest, right over here in the studio. And look, welcome to Loudmouth Radio Network.
Pleasure to be here.
You know what's amazing? Today is the first episode of the new season of For the Love of Comedy.
Okay.
And I thought, how wonderful is it that it is you who would be my first guest, who is also my featured comedian for our upcoming show that is in, what, 8 days?
8 days, yes. Yes, yes, right.
So I just say, you know, it's wonderful how the universe conspires with you, right? And for those who do not know Mr. Kevin Davis, he is the Marine of comedy. And yep. I want to give you an opportunity to share with our listening audience who you are and how you got started in comedy. And we're just going to kind of go with that.
Okay.
Go with that flow. Yeah.
Simple enough. I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which
okay.
is...
Okay. Hold that mic a little bit more for me.
Okay. Move it a little bit. All right. Yeah. But I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Which is probably about 70 miles from Philly, but carries a lot of the same traditions, you know okay. what I mean, as far as the lifestyle.
Okay.
So growing up in that area, I was very small for my age. Okay. So in my neighborhood, either you was funny or you was fighting. I was funny.
So you're going to be one or the other.
Yeah. But I had a sister that was a gangster. My sister was a Black Panther, so then nobody really messed with me. My sister, she'll beat you down today. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
Everybody
say
knew.
Less.
They knew my sister. Okay. You know, I wonder why nobody really messed. I thought it was because I was funny. Now I found out it's because my sister was a gangster.
Yeah, they weren't playing with
her. Mm-mm. So I started just, you know, I used to listen to Moms Mabley and Wild Man Steve and Rudy Ray Moore growing up. Mm-hmm. So I was good at always
Mr.
telling.
Dolemite.
Yes, I used to tell those jokes. Right. To family members. I did that for years, never thinking I was going to get into comedy. Yes. Listen to Richard Pryor, you know, and 8 Tracks, all that.
Exactly.
I was in school in the 10th grade, 9th grade, and I was cutting up bad. And my teacher pulled me out and said, we got to do something with you. And I know what that meant. Well, they actually ended up sending me to a performing arts school.
Constructive.
For theater. And there That's I kind of awesome. Started doing, you know, this theater and stand-up, stuff like that.
Yes.
But never thinking that would be my future.
Right.
Because I thought I was going to be a chef. I wanted to be a chef.
But like to cook. Can you throw down?
Love to throw down. Still throwing down.
Y'all heard this, guys.
Oh, No, I can do it.
I'm going to test Kevin.
Yo, test me, please.
Hey.
But I got sidetracked, you know, because in that life, the criminal, the crime, and all that can catch you that fast. You know, your life can change overnight.
Absolutely.
And I seen my friends getting caught up in that, and I went out to visit my friend at the county one time. And he had on that orange jumpsuit, and I knew I didn't look good in orange. So, so I made a decision that day to change my life.
Yes.
And that was to go in the military. Mm-hmm. So I was going to go in the Air Force, but I was underweight. I was 19 pounds underweight.
Wow.
I graduated high school. I weighed 98 pounds. I was 5'6".
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes, you were tiny.
Yeah, I was six inches from being a midget and 8 pounds from being Ethiopian. No, that's real. That's a true story. So I was 19 pounds underweight. Wow. So I decided, it's crazy how you said about the universe. Mm-hmm. At that point is when I realized that I was joining the Air Force because they had the shortest boot camp. It was only like, what, 8 or 9 weeks.
I
thought that it was easy.
I didn't know that.
So, okay. But then that epiphany hit me like, I've probably been shortchanging my life. Been caught, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Been taking the easy way.
Okay.
So I said, what would be the total opposite?
Extreme. See, Kevin
right.
Extreme, man.
I'm extreme.
You're extreme. I said, already know what this is.
Right. I said, what's the opposite of the easiest is the hardest. What's the opposite of the Air Force? The Marine Corps. So that's why I joined the Marines. I joined the Marines on December 14th, and I left on December 27th.
Wow.
2 weeks.
How many years?
I ended up doing 20 years and 6 months.
He got some sticking power, y'all.
Yeah, so what I
Come
did.
Come on, ladies.
But I
pull
put,
up.
Yeah.
Pull
I,
up.
I got benefits.
Hey.
But I put everything on hold for all that time. Wow. I'm not thinking comedy. I'm not thinking theater. I'm not thinking nothing.
So you weren't doing any of that while you were in the service?
None of it. I get it, though. So I finally get back to San Diego.
This is, give me some.
Yeah.
There's so much parallel. I love it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I get back to San Diego in 94.
Okay.
About 97, mm-hmm. I decided to start doing promotions, club promotions.
Wow.
So I started promoting clothes, dance parties, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Eventually.
And we're getting close to the .com era.
Yes.
Starting to come
we're getting there right there. So I get me a laptop and I start learning.
We was dialing up.
We was
online.
Yeah, we was.
Waiting 15 minutes for that.
I was there. Yes.
I remember, baby.
I got my little computer and it was a Marine. Mm-hmm. That was doing comedy.
Wow.
His name was Bobby. Okay. He was Uncle Cleophas. If you ever see him, BET Comic View.
Oh, yeah. I do remember him.
That was Bobby. Yeah, he was a Marine.
Oh, wow. I remember Cleophas. I remember Bobby.
You remember Uncle Cleophas with the teeth? Yeah. Well, he took me under his wing because I wanted to promote comedy shows. Okay. So we would go up to Fat Tuesdays in Hollywood.
Okay.
And I would watch Joe Blunt. I would watch all the big names. And I would book them to shows in San Diego, never thinking
it was
going to go that big circle. Remember, this all started way back in the 70s of me just being funny.
Right.
And I started doing this. So I started doing the openings, just opening up for the shows and just introducing the comedians. And then at the school, where the Marine Corps was a very strict service.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff we teach is dry as hell.
Right.
So I started putting humor into the teaching. Yeah. Well, they didn't like that at first. Mm. The upper command did not like that.
I can believe it.
They didn't like it. They pulled me in many times and counseled me. Mm-hmm. But what they realized, that I was effective. Right. That my humor was getting students through the school and creating great recruiters.
That's good.
So they allowed me to keep doing it. So pretty soon, other instructors start following me.
Right.
And start doing skits and start wearing hospital gowns and all that kind of stuff. And
hold on, Kevin. Let me get that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So it started being fun. So now I'm working my way back into comedy. For some way, it's just happening. I'm not planning this.
Right.
I'm just headed that way.
Well, see, that's divine order, man.
Yes. So I resigned. Well, I retired in 99. And I'm sitting on my bed in about 2001. Mm-hmm. And I just said to myself, I'm going to do stand-up. That's it. I sit on the side of my bed. I'm going to do stand-up. And I never looked back. 2003, I got on stage, and I've never looked back.
21 years.
Yep. Wow. But I've only been doing real stand-up since 2009. So remember, 2001, 2003, I'm producing. I'm just producing shows, learning the game, learning the background.
Yeah,
I didn't get on stage to actually performing to, what's this, 2024? It's take 8 years back. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sound like my walk, man.
Yeah, so that's how I got back into comedy. Then I got into acting again, and it's just everything I thought about.
Full circle.
But let me tell you something about manifesting. This is real business. There was two songs I listened to growing up that I loved and don't know why I loved them. It was Rufus and Chaka Khan had a song called Hollywood that I would listen to all the time. Mm-hmm. And Rick James had a song called Hollywood that I would listen to all the time.
You was aligning yourself, man.
Yes, sir. And then one day I wake up and I got an agent in Hollywood. I'm at Goward Studios, and I remember standing out front just looking, saying, "I'm in Hollywood." You know what I mean? Up. And I never really thought about it. Now I go back, and I had already. If you go into my house and go into my bathroom downstairs, I was always taught, take a room and make it your vision.
Yes,
my bathroom has everything about theater.
Nice.
There's a Scarface, there's Star Wars, there's all this stuff about movies and acting.
Yes.
That's my room, that's my motivation.
Yeah, look, that whole shelf, well.
That's what we're talking about.
Movie theater.
See,
I got my signs right there, but the Star Wars movie bucket.
Yes,
all the,
that's where you're headed.
Yeah.
That's where your destiny is going to be, because I never thought about none of this until now. I'm thinking like.
Wow, it just was building up.
It was building up, yeah.
Subconsciously, you weren't aware.
No.
But you were just doing your walk.
Just doing my walk, without thinking about it. Just
that's crazy.
It was things was falling into what they do. They just fall
in the place.
But
you know that's where you're supposed to be when it's like
right. That's exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yes. So for you, we're in a new age. So you've been through an era of time. You watch a lot of greats.
Yes.
We've lost a lot of our great comics over the years, man. And you for me, I can see this transitioning. You know, you got me about some years, Kevin, but I'm also, as my mama's saying, a spring chicken.
There it is.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of up and coming new comics that are coming into the scene, but you can see the movement of this wave of the industry just kind of, I don't know where it's shaping to, but I think with the advancement of technology, you know, a lot of things that weren't available to you back then.
Right.
I think it fast tracks a lot of opportunity now. Right. We was in the VHS era.
Yes.
Right. or radio, like, you know, transitional radio,
yes.
FM tune radio,
AM, FM,
yeah. FM, AM, FM. Yeah. So now we got, you know, Sirius, radio,
streaming, yes, streaming ability. Streaming.
And
yes.
So I think it gives such a bigger advantage of what was a long, taxing journey for so many mm-hmm. that is in this industry that had to crawl and walk. And what you've told me in reference to you, makes it such a cool alignment, right? You made a career choice out of the military. You dedicated your time to it. You were honorably discharged.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was honorably discharged, which means you did what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
And, but you still stand on your own and you represent that lineage of time. And so how did you become the moniker of the Marina Comedy?
You know, interesting enough, I think my name, Kevin Davis, is a very common name. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's too common.
Yeah, Smith, I get it.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. if you just said what your name is in comedy, you're just so-and-so commie.
Right.
Well, in the Marine Corps, things are not really funny. We're not like a funny branch of the service.
Okay.
There's Marines who do comedy.
Right.
But they don't talk about it. They don't. Me, yeah. I thought it was important to let you know that I was a Marine doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to know that
you embraced it.
I embraced it, right. We laugh. I want to show you that we laugh and enjoy our time in the Marine Corps. It's never, right. It's not always what you think it is.
Correct.
We got very funny Marines. Let me tell you, extremely funny.
And it's important that you have that balance of laughter because you guys are dealing with a lot of stuff.
That's right.
You see a lot of things.
Yes.
You experience a lot of things. Your responsibility to the service is significant.
Right.
So where do you have the relief? Right.
That's comedy.
Laughter, the comedy, right.
And camaraderie.
Yes, the camaraderie.
Well, you know, we spend absolutely. A lot of time together.
Yes.
And the things that are not funny to y'all, to us, is extremely funny.
Right, inside because, jokes.
Right, because it's so tight.
Yes.
So the littlest thing mm-hmm. makes you laugh. The littlest, right. or somebody who is a master sergeant or a master gunny cracks mm-hmm. a joke, you're going to want to laugh.
Right.
Because they normally don't crack jokes.
Right. They use a straight stone face. They normally
straight to the point.
Right.
This is the way we do business, black and white. Keep it
so
moving.
So, you know what? I mean, you know what made me, what came to mind when you said that was Major Payne?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
One of my favorite movies.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yes.
And it just goes to show you the depiction of what characteristics and people embody.
Yes.
And so, prime example.
They took it, and what they did with it, which we do in comedy,
yes.
they took it over the top.
Yes.
So they took
over.
They took it all the way over. That's what yes. made it funny.
Yes.
Right. So Marines who look at that will laugh because it's not close to the cuff, and they can't say he's disrespecting the Marine Corps.
Right.
He's purposely taking it over the top, as we do in comedy. That's why I never took it personal.
Right.
But they had the uniforms right and everything.
Yeah.
They had him sharp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that was a ripe Damon.
Yes.
He at was that time at his best. Period. Yeah, so he was rocking.
I seen him in concert then. He was one of the best at stand-up.
And you know what? I've never seen him live.
I seen him live. He was, now I wouldn't say that now.
Right.
Because I see in a lot of comedians, once they hit that success.
And they've hit that plateau.
They hit that plateau.
And they're not working.
They're not working. The circuit. You'll see the difference. Change. When I seen him again, he was talking politics and it wasn't the same. But the first time. One of the best I've ever
it's
seen.
It's like Chris Tucker. You know,
same
Chris
way.
Tucker, yeah. He same transitioned way. Over. And so it was amazing. Many years ago, I did a comedy show, and his niece, Shante Wayans, was on my lineup, right? And she talks about, you know, being that next generation. You
right.
know, she's carrying the family name, and she's funny. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? You know, just knowing, you know, you've been in the industry for a long time. And as a producer, how was that for you, producing comedy? And is there a preference that you like one over the other?
Producing is work, man.
Man, what you talking about?
Producing is work.
Look,
it's
ask me if I know.
Right. You are, you got to be a five-tool
yes.
mechanic.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? You got to pick yes. the talent. You mm-hmm. got to make sure the talent fits the room.
Yes.
Then you got to fill up the room. You got to negotiate the contract with the venue.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure everything goes that night. You got to make sure the mics are right. You got to make sure
everything.
Right. So producing.
There's a different now. Piece.
Now at this level, I would rather perform.
Right.
producing.
It's like cruise control versus in the race.
I got to do now is go and make people laugh for 15 to 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever.
Right. But when I'm producing, down and keep moving.
My mind is, and it's hard to produce and perform at the same time.
Brother, give it.
When you see not enough people coming in and you the producer, and you got to go up and host the show.
Maybe you sweating and shit.
You counting people while you up there talking.
You're
trust
like
me.
5, 10, 15
Right. And your and your energy changes according to the people that's in there. And that's the truth.
Yes.
So I try. Like, I try to get, like, I got a partner, Mac Rome, who's a comedian. And him and I were flip-flop. And I said, look, Mac, if I'm producing tonight, you host.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, just let me do a set. That way I can be...
Balance it.
I can balance it, but I can't host...
Kevin, I swear, I feel like you're talking about my existence, like, at this very time, and I was just telling one of my comedy buddies that used to perform at my comedy club in Atlanta for years. Shouts out to Sweet Baby Keita. And I challenged myself this go-around, and I said that I'm not going to continue to just be the producer, marketing, you know, boost hat.
Everything.
And... really be consciously intentional to work my way to put time into a set, you
there
know, and really working in that space because people don't get it. Like, you know, about a month ago I was out and, you know, I was putting out information about my web series, Dating Like a Dyke, the comedy series. And so I was at an open mic and, one of the guys was like, yo, Sonny, go up. I was like, man, listen, I haven't been on stage doing, like, hosting is my closest thing that I've been doing consistently in that space, but not.
But it's not a set.
And it's not a set. It's two totally different realms.
And the momentum is night and day.
It's a total different thing. And so, you know, I went up for, you know, as they say, the shits and giggles, you know, but really and truly, it was not anything equivalent to, like, last week I went to the National Lampoon Yellow Door, the brand new San Diego spot. And it's beautiful. I love the space, right? Man, went up there 4 minutes, just pow, pow, pow. Just, you know, pow, pow, pow.
Quick, pow. Right.
And coming off of that moment, it's like, wow. Like, I feel like my man in Coming to America, Mortimer, I'm back. You know what I'm saying? And knowing what you're saying is so true. And there are a lot of comedy producers that are out here, right? And a lot of them are still acting, working comics.
Right.
And it's really one hat to the other.
Tough.
And it's hard to walk around with four bibs pointing all around the top of your head, but that's what it feels like.
I use hosting too much. I got an analogy.
Okay.
It's like being a sparring partner.
Mm.
See, the comics or the boxers or you the sparring partner.
Right.
Your job is to host the show and keep it moving.
Yes.
If you ever did a show and you're the funniest...
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do your job.
That's a problem.
So you become, you take the punches.
Right.
That's your job.
You keep the momentum.
But if you do that all the time, that's who you become.
Right.
You'll never be the headliner. You will always be the punch, taking the punches.
Because
you will not have a consistent set.
Yes.
They can take that A, B, C comedy back to that B, C, A comedy.
Speaking, brother, you're telling some
you
truth.
You see, and that's a set. You know what I mean? Doing 4 minutes, I can do 4 minutes standing on my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not challenging.
Exactly.
5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's really not challenging.
Right.
You just pick your best jokes and you just go in there, and if you got a story that
read the room, right?
You read the room and then you make the adjustments. But
right.
When you have to keep the attention of an audience for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, and maybe it might be clean comedy.
Right.
Which is a whole different animal.
Right. It's
but
a more.
Yeah. If you don't practice that, your hosting will not support that. I'm going to tell you that right
that's
now.
That's so true.
It will not do it. You will not have the flow that you need to do a set.
Yes.
And you have to stop sometime hosting and just do sets. Get somebody else to host.
Correct.
And you do a set every other show. You do a set.
Yes.
You do the you become the feature.
Feature.
It's
right.
your show.
Right, right.
You become the feature. You be the opener. You do that. Because if you don't, you get used to taking them blows.
That's
and then
true.
When you get on the do a set, you'll do it exactly like
same.
You hosted.
Exactly. That was some biblical preaching, man. Y'all, I hope y'all heard this, and this is coming from a veteran that's been in this game long enough to know. And I love the fact that you've occupied all of these spaces.
Yeah.
So what's important and what works and what doesn't work, right? And you speak it from experience. What was one of your most favorite stand-up moments And since you've been doing this thing, do you have a one in particular that stands out more than any other?
I think we did Black History Month.
Okay.
In Utah.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was challenging.
There's a lot of Mormons and...
And Africans.
Variants. Oh, okay.
And that's what I didn't know.
Okay.
And when we got done doing the show, the Africans were so excited.
Really?
It's like we just hit something with them. And I have pictures. You know, I took pictures because I wanted to remember it.
Right.
And one of my funniest jokes came from that night of doing that show. But it was uplifting as a black man to go to Utah.
Yeah.
And be able to share Black History Month.
Right.
From a black comics perspective.
That's cool.
And we touched on a lot of people, you know, and it was, we made friends. The comedy to me is about that, man. It's never been about money.
Right.
It's never, that's not what excites me, man. What excites me is going to a new place that I've never been, like when I'm going to do the Guggenheimer Friday night, which is a clean show I'm featuring. And that's the challenge.
Right.
Because I can assure you it's going to be probably 90% white people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to go up there of an audience you've never been in front of, people you've never met.
And you got to connect.
And you got to connect. And then after the show, you'll know if you did your job.
Right.
By the amount of people that want to take a picture with you, the people want to shake your hand, you know.
If they lingering after the fact.
Yeah.
You know.
If they talking to somebody next to you that was on the show, you probably didn't have a good set. You know?
Oh, yeah. That was the guy that closed out the show.
Yeah. They go, they talking to another guy and they say, oh, you was good too. Yeah. And they go,
oh, no, I don't want no more popcorn. Right. What? Yeah, you look familiar. Did you walk me to my seat? What? I was still here for 45 minutes looking at you.
They taking pictures and everything with everybody but you.
Matter of fact, they're like, here, can you take this picture for me?
Exactly.
Man, that's awful. That's rough.
Was you people. Was you on the show?
Did you just get hit? Man, you missed. It was a good show, dog. You missed the whole thing, man. It was so dope.
Man, I remember I did a show.
We leaving. Are you supposed to clear out the room? Is that what's happening?
Look, I did the Palm Springs, the black motorcycle reunion or whatever.
Oh, Lord.
It was the worst set I've had in my life, right?
Oh, no.
So I'm on stage. I wasn't connected at all. Oof. Everything I said, they was oohing and ahhing, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
And all I wanted to hear was those magical words. The light.
Okay. That's my time. You was ready.
I don't care where I was at in the joke.
Kevin would look like this.
Like I did like a, I'm looking. I seen a flickering of a light.
Where's the torchbearer?
Hey, that's my time. Have a great night. So I'm leaving. This guy goes, you coming to the after party? I was like, fuck no.
Oh, man. I'm getting up out of here.
Y'all ain't talking about me.
You about to see the back of my head, bro.
Y'all not going to be talking about me the rest of the night.
Oh, my God.
That's that dude the bomb right
there. He was awful.
I got out of there. Look, man. I almost drove over the bridge after that.
Okay.
If I could have found a bridge, I would have rode off it. But they ain't got no bridges in Palm Springs, so I was looking, though.
Man.
I was like, that was the worst set ever.
That's the worst part. Oh, that's the worst moment.
But you know what?
Crickets. And I mean, they just be...
Right. But if you serious about the game,
yeah,
you're going to go home. You're going to sit down. Before you shoot yourself, you're going to sit down. You're going to evaluate what you did. Okay. And you're going to get better from it.
Right.
If you're serious. If not, you're going to quit and walk away.
That's a real truth.
I'm not a quitter. I'm a Marine. Yeah. Marines don't quit. Nothing.
That's it.
So I went home after I, you know, thought about suicide and everything. I talked myself off the bridge, and I figured out what I did wrong.
Right.
Showed up. That's what I did wrong. I shouldn't have went. God damn it. That's what I should
have
done.
Listen, comics, we have such a sense of, we have entitlement to automatically feel and believe that you're supposed to laugh at our stuff. Mm-hmm. Then when you don't laugh at our stuff, we then are truly almost steps away from suicide.
And look, you can do...
Shame.
Look, you can have 5 shows in a night. 4 of them you kill. Mm-hmm. The one that you mediocre is the one that's going to eat at you.
The most.
The most. And that's the truth. It's going to eat at you.
Because literally, Kevin, I went to an art college. And one of the things that we were set to do in, you know, having all of the art, you know, color theory, life, like, you know, these artistic drawing class. So we would have to put up our easel, put up our whatever we drew on our, you know, sketchbooks or whatever. And we all had to talk about and critique each other's stuff. So, baby, you're going to learn real quick.
Yes.
I will never forget my first class. Because I my first year of college, I went to Palm Beach Community College and I was a physical ed major. Then I switched and went to SCAD and became a video and film production major. Okay. So I'm thinking, naive me, thinking, oh, I'm doing video and film. And at the time, we didn't have the acting portion. So well, I said, I'll learn behind the camera then. And I know I'm going to get in front of the camera. But at least I'll learn all of the aspects of what I need to do as a cast, you know, crew member. But, buddy, I did this life drawing 101 class, and, man, this man walks into the room, and he had on the robe. He just got up, and the homeboy stood with the seat that I get to choose. Homeboy parks right in front of me and pulls that robe off, and all I did is them countdowns said, boop, off the stool, and I said. Next thing I know, the teacher said, okay, everyone, you're going to have an hour to draw. And then once we have our finish, everybody's going to turn their work and we're going to speak about it. So literally, I was struggling and I just kind of did my thing because I wasn't artistically strong in the figure drawing, right? So I did my thing and I'm like 15 minutes in and I'm like looking around and there's people in their chair talking about something. For 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm going to flunk this, and it's the first day. Homegirl said, okay, guys, turn the thing. Man, I literally, for 15, 20 minutes, I was just sitting there scratching and erasing and trying not to look at this dude bald. They just sitting there looking at me. And then that man had the nerve to be like this.
Right.
And he scooted to the end of the thing and just, I was like, really?
He put it out there.
Oh, my God. Well,
That was his job.
But I was right at the intersection.
Right.
And I was just like.
Oh, it was a meat market.
But I'm not a butcher. I might be butch.
He was a butcher that day, though.
I guess they said, oh, there's the butch.
Put it in her face.
Right.
I'd have drew a stick figure.
Like, wait a minute, I heard you hoop. You like the ball, don't you? I was like, oh, man. Bro, look.
How'd you do on that drawing?
Woo, I'm sweating already. Baby, when I tell you the teacher said, okay, turn it around. Baby, I was so shamed. My thing looking like Stickman George. That's what mine would look like. Everybody else, Picasso's, Michelangelo's. I was like, dang. First of all, people was drawing stuff that would, man didn't even look like that, but they was.
They made him.
Italian Renaissance level. And I'm like, isn't this a first level class? Like, bro. So when the teacher walked around and she was like, okay, I know that this is our first class and we're going to do better each week. And many of you are advanced, and some of you, and she got right to my picture. And I know she was talking about me. She was like, of you will be probably doing a little more remedial development. I was like, this.
You.
I passed that class with a C, and I just felt I was okay with it. I was all right, because baby, and every week, here comes saggy balls, every time, and I was like,
same balls.
Ball, like, I'm not the ball boy. I just need for you to just be my, can you look that way, sir?
He gonna convert you.
Oh my, he was trying, he was like.
You know, let me tell you a secret, man, something I learned, it took a minute though. About jumping off the ledge. Mm. This is what I've learned. In comedy, when you have a good set, don't get too high.
That's it. Because that's a moment.
When you have a bad set, don't get too low.
That's it. Just in the middle.
Stay in the middle.
Yeah.
Even if you have a fantastic set, just enjoy it and just keep on moving. Just relish
it for a moment and just going. Yeah.
If you have a bad set, acknowledge why. Take whatever responsibility you have. For that set.
And make some adjustments.
And then move on.
That's it.
But now I don't jump off bridges no more. You know what I mean? I understand.
But baby, there's some right now.
There will. Yes. But see, they don't understand, and a lot of producers don't understand this part of it. You have a lot to do with the success of that set.
Yes.
If you don't have the room set up right, that's a big problem.
Schematics.
That's number one for me.
Sound.
Sound. Mm-hmm. Second thing, what music is your DJ playing before the show?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
If you playing hip hop and all that high, you killing the DJ. You putting the comedians in a bad spot.
Right.
We can't meet the intensity.
You gotta compete. Yes.
Don't compete. Give me the slow. Give me the jazz. Give me the R&B.
Give me some Boney James, baby. Yes, put some Boney James on.
That. Give me that.
Let me walk
in. Set the room
up. Let me set the tone.
Right. Set the room up so I got a chance to be successful.
Correct.
Don't have the crowd.
I hope y'all listen.
18 feet from me.
This some real stuff right here.
Get them people nice and close. I love intimate crowds.
I do too.
Like when we do shooters, you'll see everybody can sit right close.
Yes.
And when you make that eye contact, if the first five people are connecting with me, I got the rest of them.
Yep.
They all gonna fall in line.
It's like that snake charmer.
Yes. Once you get that one.
Kevin be like this. He be like, you know I'm the Marine.
Yes. I do say that. Wow. Yes. But that's the room has a lot to do with the
It does.
The success.
You're telling the truth, though,
yes,
bro.
The room. And a lot of people blow that off. They got these garbage sound systems. Yeah. They got the DJ competing with the comedians.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
or
setup.
Like don't have the mic so low. Like remember I told you I did that set?
Yes.
So the comics, the DJ guy they had that day, I swear to God, I was like, this motherfucker, he on shrooms. He was just sitting. I was like, I gave him some cues. I was looking at him like,
you gave some cues for what? Let me ask a question. You gave him cues to do what? To play music that you wanted to hear?
It was like a insert.
You know what? I want to hear that. You know why I want to ask you that? I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I'm going to give you something about that.
Okay. Won't do that.
The real clubs you go to.
Yeah.
May not play nothing you want to hear.
I know that.
I learned a lesson. True. I was at the comedy store. And the DJ, he's supposed to be DJ. I go up to him. I said, man, I want to hear James Brown. Mm-hmm. He said, dude, I'm not your DJ.
Yeah.
I was like, you ain't going to play what I want? He said, nah, I'm going to play whatever's on this 80s disco sheet. It's, now I'm young. Mm-hmm. I'm young. I'm a comedian. Yeah. I get on stage and I'm lost.
Wow.
I'm lost because I'm still caught up in the conversation him and I had.
Mm-hmm. And it affects your...
About some dumb ass vibe. Music.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you can bring me out the Hickory Dickory goddamn dock and I'm still be funny.
Yeah.
I don't care if you bring me up to no music. Music don't make your
it
set.
It doesn't. It's that classic rule of performance. Shit fall, your hair, something.
Everything.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. And it never affected me again. If you don't have my music, I don't care.
That's it.
Whenever you got a song that you need a DJ to cut in here and here, what about when he don't do it right?
Right.
You off.
You getting caught up.
You caught up.
Now you over there like.
Now you trying to figure out. Now you got to say something to the DJ. Your set is shot.
Yeah.
Don't ever depend
it's
on the
energy,
DJ.
It's energy, man. The one thing that people don't recognize, comedy is energy.
Yes.
It's
a flow.
It's a flow. Yes. So like the beginning of what you're talking about is significant. During, like, yo, I can't remember where I was, but I was at some place, man, to where the people were talking so loud.
Yes.
In the audience that the comic was fighting to try to get them to tone it down, right? The other thing, if you're somewhere where you have one of these rooms and you know as a producer, You pretty much have an idea what your traffic flow is going to look like and the head count of what you're going to have. If you know that you might be very, very shy on number count or something like that, don't let the people go sit all the way in the back of the room.
Thank you.
Bring them up to the front.
Thank you.
You know, you want to usher them in.
The easiest way to do that. And look at the Comedy Store and the Improvs.
Yeah.
They tape off when they don't get a lot of ticket sales.
Yes.
They tape off the back on purpose.
Yeah,
they push everybody to the middle of the stage. Mm-hmm. Then they open up areas slowly
to the side,
slowly as people come. Right. That's why that way, if you only got 20 people, you can have a good show.
Right. But if you still got center point. Right.
But if you got 20 people and I got one here, one here, one here, I'm as a comedian. I'm trying to throw my voice. I'm off. My rhythm's off. I can tell you why. Right. Because I'm trying to throw my voice.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to. I should be able to talk to you in a conversational level.
Yes.
But when I got people here, and you laugh, but you're not getting it because you're way over here.
Correct.
But if I put all 10 of y'all together,
we
can have a great show with 10 people.
Absolutely.
And I've done it.
Yes.
I had a great show with 3 people the other day.
Yep.
One lady laughed so hard, she fell over, bust her head. They had to put ice on her head.
Kevin, you lying, bro.
No, it was in a Laguna Niguel. It's the best three people audience ever been to in my life. I had nothing to do with it. I got added to the show the night before. And
don't lie.
But they was a great three people.
You put it down, man.
But I did 40 minutes for them.
See?
Yeah, because.
And they're going to seek you out and they'll appreciate you because anytime they see you.
If you come to my show.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about the venue. I'm not going to talk about who ain't here. I ain't going to talk about it. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'm going to give you 40 minutes of comedy. You paid your money to come see me.
Yes.
And I'm going to give
you. And I'm not going to make you to be responsible for the
for what didn't show up.
Right.
I'm going to make that motherfucker responsible right there. Yeah. Now, okay. I might talk about him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to talk about the venue or the
your
audience.
Your boy Scott Lead over here.
But your boy over here. You this dude. You know? This.
If you'd have sold them tickets like you moved them Boy Scout cookies, you would have had somebody up in here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was the other day. But they was good people, though.
That's what's up.
It was good people. It actually turned out to be a good show. Made some good connects off of it.
And that's the thing, because you never know.
You
never know who's in the room, right? You never know who's in the room. And so don't be half-assed.
Don't mail it in. That's what we call it. Don't mail it in.
Yeah. Man, I love it. So if you would, share with us, Kevin, like some of the stuff you got coming up. Of course, we're going to talk about the set we're doing together. But I saw your clip, and we've used the clip now in some of the intro, the promotion that we're doing for the show coming up. So can you talk about a little bit about that San Diego piece?
Yeah, that was a piece for KPBS, which is public television, which is 100% clean, not even sexual in the windows.
Yeah.
So it's probably one of the most challenging rooms you'll do.
Right.
But it's also one that if you accomplish it, it's a big accomplishment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I thought it went really well. So I thought it went well enough that they've hired me to do other stuff. So
that's wonderful.
I guess it went well. But it's going to be coming out, I think, August 30th.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to seeing it. But it was shot excellent.
Okay. It looked good. Just the promo looked good.
It was
amazing.
Out in the way out there somewhere.
Okay.
But it was cool. It was really cool. So I got that coming up August 30th. That's getting released. The 18th, I'll be in Escondido at Dr. Boot Charts.
Okay.
It's a medicinal brewery, which is, I know it's very interesting. But we'll be there on the 18th.
You're going to get some real giggles that night. Yes.
The 21st.
Okay. Shooters, Temecula Bar and Grill, right here in Temecula.
The 24th, I'll be at Wine Now in Rancho Cucamonga,
nice.
Which is a black-owned winery. I've been with them for about 4 months trying to help them build their
That's
clientele.
That's north. You said I'm Rancho Cucamonga. Nice. Yes.
September 1st, I'm at Lorimar. Winery.
Okay.
It's the barbecue throwdown with Chef Drew. That's going to be off the chain. This is the baddest. He was the pit master, the 2023 pit master.
Oh, yeah.
For the West
Coast. Oh, yeah, I think I've heard
He's
heard
bad.
Yeah,
that brother bad.
That.
If you never had his brisket, it is.
Serious.
Yeah, it's to die for.
Dang,
I've always wanted to say that to die for because I ain't going to kill myself over no goddamn food. But I like hearing people say that's the most retarded stuff ever. The chocolate cake was to die for. I said, here.
Take that.
Hope that cake was that good.
Well, if you die, daddy. No. So I want to say thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. And I want to say something about this brother. We're going to wrap this up. And we had the fortunate opportunity to run into each other. I was already on the move and doing my thing. And you walked up to me graciously, told me who you were. We exchanged information and just sincere and just as gracious as can be. And I love to see that kind of energy in the space. That's why this particular segment, For the Love of Comedy, and you talked about that, you do it for the love.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you hold on to that, it will take you so much further than you can imagine.
Than chasing money.
Yes,
absolutely.
It does.
Yeah.
It just absolutely does. So I just want to tell you, Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and share your insights, your experience. And if you were to share with anybody that's in this field of comedy that's, you know, coming and growing into the comedy, what would you just give them in their journey and also seeing how you can have the longevity that you've been successful for so far?
The first part is what you said is humble.
Yes.
Be humble. I mean, if you are funny, you're going to know you're funny. You know you're funny.
Right.
So be humble and not be too big that you can't take advice from anybody.
Correct.
Because anybody that's watching your set may be able to help you better your set. And when people give you advice, a lot of times they're not trying to tell you how to be a comedian.
Right.
They're saying they heard something.
Right.
Then maybe this could help you. And what I say to a comedian, either you can use this or throw it away. But right. this is what I've observed.
Right.
And I might have a tag for you. And I may give you a tag. It's yours.
That's it.
Own it.
Right.
That's yours.
Right.
But the biggest thing I found in this game, man, is you have to be consistent.
Absolutely.
And you got to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be teachable.
That's
because
true.
There is a science to comedy.
It is.
It's not what everybody thinks. We make it look like it's easy.
Easy.
We it make is. It look like
not.
Right. It's not.
No.
There is a science. Understand mm-hmm. it. Learn it. Get educated.
Yes.
But most of all, just be humble, man. Like when I met you, and I'm going to tell you this. My friend Earl had told me, he said, man, I think Shooters is open. So we just drove by and you happened to be outside.
Yeah.
So when you said you was doing comedy, I said, I used to do comedy here.
Right.
I wasn't saying it to brag. I was trying to tell you that we used to do it here, and I'm wondering if they're doing it again.
Right.
And you said, yeah. The first thing I thought in my brain was, I want you to win.
Mm-hmm. Same.
That's what came to my brain.
Same. There's no competition.
That's right. I want to help you
That's
win.
It.
I didn't say I want to be on your show.
Yes.
I said, what you got going on, I will try to come out and support.
I thoroughly agree you did.
And then I told you about my experiences there and what to try to look out for so you don't have the same pitfalls that I had.
Correct.
And that's all.
And that's grace.
And whatever I learned, whatever I've learned in comedy, I will share with anybody.
Yeah.
Because I want to see all of us win, man.
That's
it.
And I think it's important for people to know that there's no competition here.
No.
You know, I've had some discussion already with a few producers and stuff like that and just started to share this segment. And I can hear and I can sense the responses. And I can hear what's not being said, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, no worries, you know.
Right.
And just keep it moving.
It is.
So that's the thing. Keep positive. You know, be honorable, be respectful,
I think, and
maintain that humbleness. Kevin, appreciate it, man.
Sonny, thank you.
I appreciate you
looking
so much.
Looking forward to next Wednesday.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Wednesday, August 21st, doors open at 7 p.m., Shooters right in Old Town, Temecula. Shooters Bar and Grill is under new management, but it's a wonderful opportunity to come out. We have advanced tickets. You need to go to loudmouthcomedy.com. You see my transcriber over here? He can give you the fingers. He's just letting you know we're ready and excited. So I need you to get your tickets, reserve tables, loudmouth, that's LOUDDMOUTH, comedy.com. And Kevin, thank you for coming and sharing. And this is why he does this. This is real. This is why we're the inherited people. And we legally can do this and it not be incarceration.
Yes.
Don't throw your set no more. But guys, thank you so much. And Kevin, I'm going to let you be.
I keep saying that when the people that supposed to be doing sign language, they fake.
You remember that? Remember that man got busted?
Yes, he did. They just had another one get busted.
Oh, no.
He was just throwing them up.
Politically, doing a political thing. Man, what is up with the politics? Why they just...
How come nobody's checking these people? Why don't they get a deaf person?
I'm just saying.
Shouldn't they have a deaf checker on their... Understand.
But like, man, his sign language is encrypted. That is not. He is not really doing what you think he's doing.
Dude was going to town. They said he ain't said nothing.
He probably was digging in his nose, man. It was just like, you know, I'm just like, come on, man.
Well, I guess we're going to go drink some wine.
I know that's right, man. So, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. And thank you for watching For the Love and listening to For the Love of Comedy on Loud Mouth Radio Network.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Oh, Kevin, let people know how they can follow you.
Oh, you can follow me at the Marina of Comedy everywhere. It's
Bam.
The Marina of Comedy on Twitter, X, Instagram, Cash App, Venmo,
TikTok,
TikTok, MySpace.
MySpace, Black Planet, AOL, Hotmail.
That's
just, Seagate.
Hold on, that's a little disrespectful.
Gateway.
Hold on, that's a little disrespectful.
Well, you know you've been in the game a long time, homie.
I didn't have an AOL account.
The Marine account. He'll still get that email. He don't want to admit it.
Ding,
but
ding.
You email him.
You have mail.
You email him at the Marine account at AOL. His phone's going to go bing.
I told that dude not to email me there no more.
You got mail.
Okay. I'll be like, what?
Guys, we out of here.
I was like, what? I got mail.
After 15 minutes of waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was overseas when internet was going, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
I was in San Diego.
It was awful. And it just...
Oh, yeah. It was. It made it exciting though, because you now it's just
when it came up, you'd be fine. You'd be like, you'd be.
And don't do nothing to make it go off
at all.
Yeah, because you'd be like, it ain't gonna come back.
I got disconnected. Okay, y'all, we done for real. We done.
You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network.